Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell. I'm talking with Stephen Scoggins from Utah. Hello, Stephen.
Larry, what's going on, my friend, dude? So happy to see you.
Yes. You just moved to Utah or back to Utah?
No, I was born and raised in North Carolina, but exited the business this year, or technically last year.
Yeah.
And decided I wanted to stay in the mountains for the rest of my life. And yeah, so moved out here, and they're going to bring the live events business out this way in the near future and all that good stuff. So it's new vibe.
Yeah. Where in North Carolina?
The Raleigh area.
Raleigh. Okay. Well, I was over in Greensboro for about 28 years. So we were right down the road from each other.
Nice. That's only about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I'm talking to you now from Aspen. So we're not too far apart now. We're about a 6-hour drive.
That's awesome. It's a beautiful area too.
Congratulations on the big bounce you did at a young age. You really showed a lot of courage.
Thank you.
Where you found yourself, and you can tell the story, but what we show is that you found yourself homeless for some reason, and you got a second chance. I don't know how that happened. But then you turned that into launch a multi-million dollar construction firm. And I've got a degree in construction out of Georgia Tech and built 100 houses coming in the first 4 years out of there. So I know how brutal that business can be.
Nice.
At least in the residential area. You know, I don't know what area you were in, but it's a brutal area to go out and make your mark as a young person, because everybody, you know, most guys are going to be older than you and want to pull tricks on you and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
If you went through what I went through, they try and pull their BS on you. But talk about that. How did you find yourself in that situation at 22?
You know what's crazy is I think it's the same as what takes most business owners out from business. And I say that loosely because a lot of the statistics will show that most businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. They don't have the right management team. They don't have the right product fit. I actually believe it's completely different. And I believe it has more to do with pride, arrogance, and ignorance. And those are the three things that also led me to homelessness. The year prior to becoming homeless, I had been making really good money. My dad's employer at the time gave me a business of my own, bought me all the equipment, everything I needed to work, and put me in a business for myself. But at 19 years old, I went to making about six figures. And this is late 90s.
Right.
So as you can imagine, the six figures is a lot of money for a 19-year-old kid that's never been trained to handle money, who's always grown up in kind of a more of an impoverished environment than not.
Right.
And as a result, between the ignorance that it had with having the character to manage wealth on top of the arrogance that came with it, that ultimately led me to severe depression, anxiety, and things of that nature. And yeah, it later led me to kind of sleeping on the streets for a little while. Not something I'm super proud of, but it's something I accept.
Talk about the depression, because young people, the older we get, we feel like the young kids have the idyllic life. But then you find out that even the young teenagers in elementary school, they're going through all these traumas. And I'll hear, and I'll interview people, and they'll say they were talking to God in the middle of the night at 8 years old because of their father or their some kind of situation. And the thing is that it's trauma, depression thing. I mean, young people commit suicide, folks.
Yeah.
So the thing is that they go through all of the, they feel these emotions. And we need to be aware of that. But what I found is that the young people, if they get the right information, you get things to run on. And that's why I do this, is because I was recovering. I've been, the last 16 years, I've been recovering from a monster bicycle accident in the middle of Palm Beach. And I got shut down on the couch. And I was realizing, you know what? Your life would have been really bad if you hadn't had these people, not really mentors, but friends, acquaintances, relatives, whatever, that were high achievers that you, by the grace of God, intersected with at a young age, and they were able to say things to you and, you know, put these thoughts in your head. And that's really why we do this, is to kind of get those things out there, remind people of it. What I found is that young people, like if you had been told, I think at 19, that you're doing great, but let me explain life to you, Stephen. Most young people are inconsistent. And the track for most young people, you want to be like most people, you want to be special. Well, if you want to be special, you're going to do one thing. You're going to be consistent, because young people usually blow it. And then it's very hard to come back because they realize all the work they went through to get started. And so things like that and the timely way can make all the difference in the world. And I've got one kid right now that has gone in like 12 years from making like $40,000 a year. It's probably about 12 years. About $40,000 a year to now he's up into the 4 or 5 million range and climbing because, and he points back to that one piece of advice early on, I'm not going to be the kid that's inconsistent. And so
that's right.
Don't be too hard on yourself, Steve, is what I'm saying. Is it like, you don't know what you don't know when you're young, right?
Yeah. Well, and that, and you got to remember, the interesting thing about depression specifically is there's typically three key factors. One is a grossly overstated limiting belief, whatever that may be. For me, my father had said—
An overstated what belief?
An overstated limiting belief. An overstated limiting belief. For me, my father used to run around saying, Scoggins don't get ahead, they get by.
Ah, okay? Really?
So 400 plus years of Scoggins history, up until that point, there had not been an affluent or a influential Scoggins on the planet that we are aware of in our direct line. On top of that, there is also the chemical imbalance of not getting enough to your brain because we were in an impoverished environment. We ate when we could. We didn't have a lot of, you know, just a kind of overabundance of food. As a result, you're undernourished in many respects. So there's a nourishment component to it. And the third thing is the types of materials that you're consuming that's either helping you break away from that limiting belief or get deeper into the limiting belief. So what I mean by that is a lot of times I see a lot of folks that are struggling with anxiety and depression, but they're continuing to consume the same materials through their eyes and their ears on a regular basis that is not beneficial to them to begin with. They're not reading the right books. They're not going to the right seminars. They're not listening to podcasts. They're not really spending enough time in the area of trying to grow themselves to a new level within themselves. And fortunately, Steve Meyer, you mentioned a mentor, the guy that gave me my first shot was the guy that gave me my second shot that I didn't deserve. I'll never forget this. He asked me one day, he said, Stephen, what is the difference between a rich man and a poor man? I was a teenager, so I was like, duh, of course it's money.
Yeah.
He said, absolutely not. It's the way they think. Now, the next question was twice as important as the first question. He said, do you want to learn to think like me or do you want to continue thinking like your father? Now, my father worked for him, okay? But here's the contrast. And I find that you can overcome depression and anxiety by getting to a healthy respect of contrast. Contrast, my father would make money on Friday. It would be gone by Monday. He would borrow money with no intent to repay. He struggled with alcoholism for a long period of his life. He's been, thank God, sober for a long time now. He's a great grandfather to this day. On the other hand, Steve Meyer was very influential. He was very affluent. He was a gracious giver, continually always giving to other people. You never knew what he was giving because he would always make it kind of with the right hand, didn't know what the left hand was doing.
Uh-huh.
When you look at those contrasts, you have to ultimately say, what life do I want to live? And when you decide what life you want to live, then you can decide what business you need to build. And that's how I kind of look at the contrast. When Steve told me in that moment, he gave me a quote that I've kind of used as my North Star, if you will. He said, you have to be willing to do today what others won't so you can have tomorrow what others don't.
Right.
What I didn't fully understand at the time, he wasn't necessarily talking about houses and cars and fun stuff. Now, thank God I'm able to enjoy those things now. He was talking about the overall condition of life. Are your relationships healthy? Is your finance healthy? Is your business healthy? What kind of leader are you going to be? I went the first 15 years of building a large organization as a really terrible leader because I was leading out of insecurity from the homeless kid, which is when you start going in and getting other levels of mentorship. So those are some of the key factors I think that led me to that place, got me out of that place. And I think that hopefully the audience can take away from if they just ask themselves right now, am I living the life that I want to live? Because Time and Harris Poll did a thing probably 3 years ago. It discovered that 70% of the people would say they're not living the life that they're meant to live.
Yeah.
They would say that they're living someone else's life because of someone else's conditioning.
For those of you who are sick and tired of fooling around and are dead serious about wanting to move up fast, I've got something especially for you. I've combined the best insights from over 40 years in business and making $70 million in income and compressed them into a free webinar. That's right, it's a free resource. If you want to find out exactly what the concepts are that I use in coaching Million Dollar Earners, register now at WeidellOnWinning.com. You'll discover
the five-part framework used by so many to reach their financial, personal, and professional goals. You can find that link in this episode's show notes.
Now, as you started that turnaround, how did that turnaround proceed? Because usually turnarounds, and I know you have made yourself an expert on turnaround. You've written a book on it. I'm going to let you talk about it. You've got a foundation. I'm sure you talk to people about it all the time. And I'm sure a lot of those lessons came out of your original turnaround. So talk about that.
So the turnaround happens, and you've already mentioned it, okay? It's understanding that motivation is not discipline. The discipline to do the right thing at the right time in the right way consistently, you mentioned that word earlier, consistently over an extended period of time is how you turn around anything. It's how you turn around a business. It's how you turn around life. It's how you turn around a marriage. It's how you turn anything around. Basically, there's an old saying that one of my mentors used to say that he would say that principles govern promises. And the wealthy get wealthy because they follow a set of principles. Great marriages are built on a set of principles, i.e., don't be unfaithful. Hey, there's a great principle, right?
Right.
In the finance category, don't spend more than you make. Like these basic principles, most of us know at a high level, but none of us ever apply them through the course of discipline consistently over time. So one of the things I always say, that you look at the area you're trying to turn around, whatever that area is, what I would do is I would look at it and say, okay, am I following a set of principles that can guarantee success? Because principles govern promises. If you're going to live a promise, i.e. a blessing, some kind of level of enjoyment out of this area, you've got to find the principles that you can align yourself with consistently to ultimately lead you to the result. Because principles by nature give a defined result. So if your principle is, I'm going to spend more money, I'm not going to pay attention, I'm not going to budget, I'm not going to look at my P&Ls, I'm not going to treat my team well, you're going to receive the consequence of living that principle or the anti-principle. Versus, I need my number one principle in business, I need to become a consistently better leader over and over and over again. That never needs to stop, okay? If I have that as a guiding light, then the promise I get to live out is I continually become a better leader, which means I build a better business and lead better teams. So I think at the foundational level, it's principle-based fundamentals through the lens of discipline consistently over time can get you out of pretty much anything.
Now, let's go back to how you got that information in your head. Because the thing, Stephen, about the podcast, and I do in our financial services business, I do a Monday morning call where we spotlight the best and brightest in the company, is because we all can learn. We learn like layers of an onion. It's just like degrees of these truths or this wisdom or these principles are not formed like overnight. It's like making a pressure on an oyster, you know, makes a pearl type thing. And it's a grading type process, rubbing off the edges. And so I'm sure you had a lot of rough edges and a lot of things. You're starting from scratch, young person. You don't know what you don't know. But now the guy got your attention, right? He gave you the chance. And so what changes did you make right away? And then what changes did you grow into?
Well, I think it's, first of all, that moment was what I refer to as the awakening. And I find that on average, we'll have 5 or 6 awakening moments in our lifetime. Now, the power of choice comes into that. I could have chosen to not listen in that moment, or I could have said, hey, this guy knows something I don't know and he can teach it to me, or maybe he's willing to teach it to me. So I think just being open, number one, more than anything else, to a transformation. And you also have to understand that a transformation is an inside job. Everything flows out of the inside of you. So if you want to replace the negative things that are inside of your head, your heart, your environment, your experiences, you have to choose books, resources, seminars, podcasts, and consume that stuff as if your life depended on it. I'm self-taught. I have a GED. That's the extent of my education, right? And I went on to build a pretty sizable business and several of them, matter of fact. And it's only because of the self-taught of being teachable, right? But being teachable while simultaneously maintaining a spirit of humility. Arrogance and pride got me in trouble. Humility, confidence, discipline, consistency got me out of trouble. I'll give you this. So I know you know Zig Ziglar, right? Does everybody know Zig Ziglar?
Right.
He used to have something called the wheel of life. It was 7 areas, 7 pie slices. And he says you have to focus on all these areas at the same time for your life to have meaning and purpose and significance and be successful. Okay. So great. Thanks, Zig. I use that, and I also added on an additional pillar. We call them the eight pillars of life. Same concept. The eighth pillar is contribution. Okay. I believe a life well lived is adding in the factor of contribution. I say all that to say that one of the things that I had to decide to do, and I think everyone should decide to do right now, is to pick one area of your life that you're going to consume content on that you can take actionable steps on a daily basis. I'll give you an example. On Mondays is my financial pillar. I'm getting ready to start Tony Robbins' new book, which has more to do with private equity since I now have liquidity and resources and stuff that I need to invest in different areas to make sure I stay out of trouble. I'm also going to have more advisory calls with more advisors, right? I'm going to spend time in that financial pillar, that financial lane on Mondays. Tuesdays, I go to my spiritual pillar. I'll do a deep dive on my spiritual nature. Wednesdays, I'll go to my deep dive on my emotional nature, my ability to feel emotionally secure, confident, self-reliant, motivated, inspired, things of that nature. On Thursdays, it's relationships. How can I better my relationship? Who do I need to pick up the phone and text right now that I haven't talked to in a while that was a major impactor in my life? When you start segmenting these categories on a daily basis throughout the course of your life, you got 7 days in a week. Technically, there's seven slices. Contribution kind of happens as a byproduct of doing the seven well. You're able to focus with laser attention on those categories and develop them over time. That has been the number one thing that I do differently than other people that I'm aware of that have been either not successful or even successful. There's a lot of super successful people that are very successful in one or two or three categories. I know I got a couple of friends of mine. They're in the billionaire club. They're really good guys. They make a lot of money. They do a lot of charitable contribution. They have a lot of assets. They have all the things that you would think would make a successful life. A couple of them until recently were very unhappy. They were lonely. They were isolated. They didn't have a relationship. Someone coming into their inner circle, what does this person want from me?
Right.
Rather than, does this person want to build a relationship with me? Which is why I say you can get yourself into success, if you will, but also get yourself into trouble. That well-rounded approach on a consistent basis will deliver you long-term results through consistency. And I think that anyone that will follow that principle of following those seven areas on a consistent basis will not only break three, they'll also provide a way of legacy. You see, Steve Meyer created a legacy that outlived himself through me. I stand on stages all the time and I talk about this and that, and Steve Meyer's incorporating those stories. Like, he died in 2003, long before I ever even tripped over $50 million, $60 million in revenue. Like, that was long before any of that stuff had ever happened. I'd never graced a stage. I'd never written a book. I'd never started building course curriculums for entrepreneurs. None of that stuff ever took place. That one conversation in that Jeep Grand Cherokee of, do you want to learn to think like me or do you want to continue thinking like your father, right? Transform my life from the inside out. Because by definition, if I chose to think like Steve, I was going to have to learn to think differently every single day for the rest of my life. And by segmenting those seven categories in that area, you can learn to think differently about those seven categories every single day and build a very well-rounded life and massive success.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience. Remember, we have a valuable webinar that is absolutely free. Register for it right now at whitealumwinning.com. Thanks for listening.